This is Your Money Matters. I'm John Hansen. One of my favorite guests joining us right now, Craig Bolanos from Wealth Management Group. Craig, how are you doing here this evening?
John, hey, it's great to be back, but I got to tell you, markets are volatile. People are wondering about inflation, and I'm sure you're going to lead us through some great talking points tonight.
Oh, you know, and that's, you know, the volatility is where I'll start, but I'm really confused. So maybe you can explain this to me because, you know, we had a bad couple first months on all the markets. Then we kind of just, and then of course Ukraine, and then you start to see this rebound in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and now it's been a couple bad days in a row as people worry about a recession. And I'm going to ask you a question that a lot of people have texted in. How can you be worried about a recession when unemployment is as low as it is, when you have people buying so much that it's backlogging the supply chain? Is it simply because they think the feds are going to overcorrect? What's your take on that?
Well, I think there's a lot of posturing around Fed speak, but let's break it down into something incredibly simple and innocent. Does it look like a recession where you live?
No.
Does it feel like a recession where you work?
Absolutely not.
Okay, the answer is we're probably not heading to a recession. If it doesn't feel like it, if it doesn't look like it, it's not it. But what people are worried about is this concept of recency bias. And there have been times in the past where the Federal Reserve has orchestrated what I call a soft landing as they taper and withdraw stimulus. But there's also a chance the Fed could overplay their hand, over tighten, not see the signs that inflation is coming down and drive us into a recession. And that's where that comes from. It's people being as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs right now at a point in time that we have great jobs numbers, a healthy consumer, and expansion. So what do I say? I know I'm dominating the radio conversation here, but the truth is there's a possibility of a recession, but the probability, and I advise people to focus on the probability, is no recession 2022.
Yeah. And I feel like there needs to be a point in which I get it. Things cost more than you are we're used to. And that hurts at the kitchen table, right? No doubt about it. But like, I feel like the market hasn't reflected the reality. And I don't know if it's just because there's a gross amount of over information that always gets transmitted and people are just so in tune to the minute to minute that they're just looking for reasons to be worried.
Well, I think people are always looking for reasons to be worried. And keep in mind, these are two distinct concepts. We just got done talking about the economy. Decent jobs, still have economic growth, possibility, but probable no recession. Then there's the market, which is its own beast. And let's understand all that we've done this year. We have been correcting the excess. We're trying to get back to normal. I mean, name whatever high-flying technology stock that you want, the type of stock that has no earnings, and what's it worth today? A lot less than it was in November of last year. That makes some sense. So we're correcting for valuation. We're correcting for valuation in the stock market. We've already done some correction for valuation in the bond market. I would argue, having touched on 5.25% 30-year mortgages yesterday, Monday, we're now looking at doing some corrections in housing for those with jumbo markets, jumbo loans. But by and large, this is normal. People need to go back into their hot tub time machine for 2004 to 2006. Yes, I invoke that movie, Hot Tub Time Machine, where we lived through 17 consecutive interest rate hikes and blow off the dust on that playbook, and this too will pass.
Yeah, and I feel like it's called a correction for a reason, right? Like there's a reason they call it a correction. It's a way to, you know, things were a little hot, they've cooled off. I guess what I'm saying is the word correction and corrections themselves, it's not the worst thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
No, I think it's a good thing. You have to, on occasion, call out the excess that is there. No one wants to deal with bubbles, right? And I'm not, and by the way, my previous comments, I do not believe there's a bubble in housing. We have a severe inventory shortage in housing. There's not a bubble in housing. I do not think that there's a bubble in stocks. So at the end of the day, we're just doing a little bit of course correct to reflect the fact that we have higher inflation data that has led to a higher cost to borrow That's interest rates. And going forward, the lens through which investors look at where they're going to put their money, people are going to be a little bit more discerning, and they're still going to be willing to own stocks, but they want to make sure those stocks have earnings per share behind them. That's the story for 2022.
Are people too obsessed with looking at futures numbers?
No.
Like in the day-to-day?
Well, you know, I think the futures are very, very good because part of investing is what I call point of entry and point of exit, right? There's point of entry and point of exit. Now, that's something that you're really going to focus on when you're trading as opposed to investing for the long term. But I do think on a daily basis, investors should pay attention to the futures market because there's little things that people can be doing proactively, such as dynamic rebalancing, et cetera. And to a degree, you do want to manage your position size, not occasion, buy the dip and sell the rip. And the futures market can give you a good indication on whether or not it's going to be a day to execute some of those strategies.
I want to just emphasize, though, you're talking about people that are playing that trader's game. If you're a long-term investor, I mean, the future, you should be, I mean, futures don't really mean all that much to you. I mean, even the day-to-day numbers don't even mean all that much to you. It's, if you're just someone that has, you know, got someone like you, Craig, who's taking care, you know, you've got the plan, you've set the plan, you know, you want to obviously check in and make sure the plan doesn't need to be adjusted any drastic ways. But like, that's what you pay someone to do, for the peace of mind to not be looking at the futures numbers and where the Dow is every day.
No, I think now that's very well said. So for those who actually have a well-established plan, not just on how they're going to get retired, but how they're going to stay retired. You know, that's the other ingredient.
Right.
You can't just get there. You got to stay retired. Then yes, from that lens, that perspective, I would argue your advisor or team of advisors are paying attention to those details. But for the average man and the average woman, no. Stick to the plan. Periodically benchmark that plan to your expectations. And it's going to be that plan that drives all of your decisions. The rest of this is day-to-day noise. And you said it in your opening salvo, this market came down and came down hard, had a gigantic rebound off that reactionary low, March 7th or 8th, literally some 11%. And now we've been digesting and giving some of that back. We called consolidation. And that consolidation is either going to lead to a breakout eventually to new highs later this year, or it could lead to a breakdown. We're going to have to take our cues from the data that's going to be coming out in the months to come.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Craig Milanos, you're going to stick around for us. We're going to take a break for the news. After the break, I want to talk a little bit about teaching kids, a little bit about some of what we're chatting about, how you go about doing that, and also a little bit about what we talked about earlier about the plan and having that plan in mind. I bet there's a lot of people that have set up their own plan that think they're on the right track, but they've never had a professional look at it. And I'm curious to see if those people should make sure that they're calling you. Craig, we'll chat more in a bit, okay?
Sounds great.
You're listening to Your Money Matters, Chicago Blackhawks hockey, coming up next. Craig Milanos, continuing our conversation from Wealth Management Group, invest with WMG.com. Craig, we talked about, you know, if for those people that have a plan, they can rest easy and not track the Dow every day, the futures every day, right? You can kind of trust that your plan is set. I think a lot of people have developed their own plan, and maybe they've used some of the knowledge that they've learned on this show or in other shows, and maybe they have a pretty good plan. But how many people come into your office or talk to you over the phone that think they're set, and then when you take a look at what they're doing, they're not as set as they think they are?
Well, I think there's a common perception that we've got everything together, because let's define what a plan is not. A plan is not, I have this amount of money today, I'm going to save this amount of money tomorrow. I'm going to assume this level of inflation, this level of return, and just project it out. Now, you can do that with 1,000 online calculators. And what it does is it tells you if you're directionally correct or not, but by no means does it tell you how to actually take money from your accounts in a tax-efficient, perpetual manner. And that's where I think people need some help. It's the tax leverage, paying for the retiree health care, and having a coefficient withdrawal schedule that makes it long-term sustainable.
When you talk about trying to get some sleep at night, which I think is like the ultimate financial goal, that you, your family, you feel like you can sleep at night knowing you're set, that is the main reason I feel like people need to make sure they chat with you, other financial advisors at wealth management, whatever it is, because there's a lot of people losing sleep over what their plan is.
No, I think that's just right. You know, and ultimately the goal is to have a sleep at night portfolio. But again, we have to move past that's not just an investment thing. That is a cash flow thing and a tax thing, or what we say at the wealth management group, it's an everything thing. It's about bringing it all together with true TNT, tested in the trenches strategy. So I encourage everybody, use the online calculator, periodically check the pulse to make sure you're directionally correct. But on occasion, it is good to have a third party lay a separate set of eyes on it to ensure that you're optimizing at the margins the various things that you could be taking advantage of for your unique situation.
Got a couple minutes left here. How soon is too soon to start teaching your kids? Because the benefit that we all have now that we're older is that, man, oh man, compounding interest. I wish I would have known that when I was 18. Compounding interest is maybe a little bit too much to teach a 7-year-old, but there's got to be lessons early on. I mean, are you a pro piggy bank sort of guy?
Let me tell you what I am a pro. Now, I've got two kids, both in college, who I say all the time, you know, we love it because on occasion they've got 4 weeks worth of bills and 3 weeks worth of money. So we enjoy letting them suffer. But the truth is we did our best. And what right. I mean by that is it's never too early to start. So moms, dads, grandpa, anybody who has a special child in their life, I break it down this simple in rapid fire. When they are young, that's K through third grade. It's just visual. You can't teach the concepts of money, but you could keep an old school translucent jar that you on occasion throw some dollar bills and pennies into and just watch it grow. And then magically, when they're in the fourth to the sixth grade, you transition from the concept of just watching something grow in a translucent jar to choices. Choices meaning there's needs and there's wants. We could do this today, but we'd have to take money out of the jar. Then when they get to junior high, you got to make sure you've established a bank account. And don't worry, your child or grandchild will help you establish the bank account online and they'll get an app. And then when they get into high school, you should encourage them through whatever fashion to buy their first investment so they can learn about not just saving money, but investing money. And if you follow those steps, you run the risk of creating some excitement. And when people are excited, they tend to get educated, and education leads to empowerment when it comes to finances. That's how I think we get it done.
And Craig, it's got to be momentum too, right? Like you save that first couple dozen dollars, whatever it is, that does kind of breed that momentum. And so then when they're heading off to college, hopefully that they've already kind of got that momentum mindset there.
Yeah, most definitively. You know, and for college, you know, I kind of left that out. But the secret for college is to teach the children about capacity. And when I say capacity, it's credit. Gone are the days of predatory lending on college campuses. You know, you no longer show up at move-in day with 17 credit card offers for free t-shirts and free 2 liters of Mountain Dew. Those days are gone, but the kids still get the opportunity to get overextended, either with credit cards or overextended with college loans. And we as parents, I think, need to teach our kids about that before they go away, lest someone else teaches them not our values, but someone else's values.
Right, or the hard way. Well, Wealth Management Group has locations in Downers Grove, Inverness as well. Invest with WMG.com. And Craig Bolanos, it is always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend.
No, thanks. It was great to be back.
All right, let's get a look at weather and traffic. Mary Vandeveld.